From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. This hour, we talk to local small business owners about their concerns. It's a scenario business owners cannot anticipate, the slowdown and essentially the stopping of the worldwide economy. What happens to them? This is a time for all of us to remember empathy. Some have temporarily shut down their operations. Others are canceling their events and weighing their options. They're losing clients, customers, or business opportunities. They're expressing frustrations and fear about economic pain and the path going forward. We talk with them about the difficult decisions they have to make and what they'd like to see in terms of policies and relief from different levels of government. This is a time where all of us are thinking about ways we can do our best to kind of keep the faucet running, but this will probably, well, almost certainly take a policy response to lift them up as well. Let's welcome our guests. And as I mentioned, Daniel Ponder is staying with us for this hour. She's a local musician. And essentially because, Danielle, you know, you're a local small business owner. That's what you do, right?
I am, yes.
Thanks for taking the time to stay with us. And there's another Danielle with us. Danielle Ramo is the owner of the Rochester Brainery. Welcome, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. Two Danielles over the phone. Let's see how that goes. No, it'll be good.
Thank you.
I'll call it out. You know, listeners, once again, this is the new way of doing connections for the foreseeable future. No guests in studio. Yes. Brian Venetin is the owner of the Playhouse and Swill Burger and one of the really, really thoughtful minds on the culinary scene. He's got a great venue down there in Swillburg. Brian, how are you?
We're hanging in there, Evan. Nice to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry just to what everyone's going through. Ellen Brenner is the owner, CFO, and vice president of Fleet Feet Rochester in Buffalo and Yellow Jacket Racing. Ellen, welcome. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me today. I am hanging in there. That's exactly what we must do right now.
Well, let's go back through the panel here. Ellen, I'll start with you. What is the state of business affairs for Fleet Feet Rochester in Buffalo and Yellow Jacket Racing, and what's coming for you?
So currently we have four retail operations, and then we have our events business. As of last Thursday afternoon, any of our events that we were to produce by the end of April have all been postponed. So that shut off that side of the business completely for about 6 to 8 weeks. On the retail side of the house, we also host a lot of public events and group events. So as of last evening, we've gone through various iterations of this, but as of last evening, we have canceled all of our group activities, from runs to workouts to walks to our training programs has been canceled. And as of right now, retail is still open, but we are watching diligently as things come forward.
Okay. How significantly do you expect the business to be hit? I mean, I don't want to ask you for a worst-case scenario, but everyone's thinking about what could happen. What's your biggest concern right now?
Money. Do you have enough in the coffers to be able to pay not only staff if you do have to close, but also all of your vendors, including your rent and your utilities and anyone you get supplies from? From the Yellow Jacket Racing side of the house, we have zero income coming in for the next 8 weeks at least. From the Fleet Feet side of the house, this weekend was a huge test for us between all four locations. And the sales, were supposed to be a very good weekend, typically and historically, was definitely down from past times. So it is already showing a financial hit to the company, whereby we have to look very carefully as to what do we have to do.
Brian Vanetten, owner of the Playhouse and Swill Burger, what's the state of affairs with your business?
Current status is, as of 11 a.m. yesterday, we shut down completely. It was very difficult conversations we had with the ownership group, very difficult decision to make. We just, at the time, decided that it was most important to keep the health of our staff first and foremost, our staff, our families, and the community safe. We're a very social environment. So we closed completely. And current status is spent the day handing out basically every perishable that was in our walk-in coolers or dry storage, handing it out to the staff, trying to make sure We can do anything in our power to keep them on our feet. And from here, we start the process of watching, brainstorming, and doing everything in our power to figure out how soon we can get back on our feet.
Brian, that's heroic, man. And I got to say, I want to show as much empathy as I can to all the business owners on this panel, everyone listening, because when I see and when I participate, frankly, on very public calls for everyone to self-isolate, I mean, unfortunately, that is what it is going to take for us to even have a chance to bend the curve of infections. You know, it's easy for me. I'm not currently impacted. Anything could change, but I'm not currently impacted. And I understand the privilege that comes with that. I've had friends who own small businesses say, you don't get this. You don't get what this is like watching your dream start to crumble. What's the message you have, Brian, for the community when it comes to empathy and for understanding the hard choices business owners are making?
Well, that's a tough question because, you know, listening to you start to phrase that question, I immediately just strictly, and I apologize, it's a very emotional time, but I really start to think of our staff, and that's what we care about first and foremost. And, you know, knowing that they're going to be without paychecks is really, really extremely difficult. But when you try to step back and think about the bigger picture, we just are banking on the fact that we can get through this as a community. And our goal in shutting down was just trying to help facilitate that in order to make sure we can play one small part in keeping the community healthy, trying to get the community back on its feet and get through this as quick as possible and get back open. In terms of how it impacts me, it just seems like the smallest concern. The business is nothing at this point. You know, it's not even on the radar of what's important.
Wow. Daniel Ramo, owner of the Rochester Brainery, what's the current state of affairs with the business and the path forward?
Yeah, so right now we are, you know, canceling classes and trying to move as much stuff online as we can. So we have kind of two parts of our business. Half of our business is operating classes and events, and our own events. And then the other half of the business is people renting our space for business meetings, bridal showers, baby showers. We have a college that rents our space consistently, which is very helpful for us. So a lot of those rentals have gone away at this point. Some have rescheduled. Some have put things on hold. Some have canceled completely. So what we're trying to do right now to kind of help, frankly, our business, when the business was started, the whole idea was getting people offline and together and connecting together and learning from each other. That's not something we can really do right now. And so we're kind of shifting our gears and saying, what can we still do to achieve our mission, which is bringing people together and letting them learn from each other, especially at a time where there's a lot less to do. And if we can bring some of that online, then we're going to try and do that. It's been happening very quickly because we had never explored online options before. It's all very new to us, so we're telling everyone to please bear with us. But we've had a lot of people reach out and say, hey, I heard you're doing this. I'd love to teach a class. I'm familiar with using online tools, you know, for teaching. Let me help you figure out how to do this. So just right now, everything is, you know, is tricky and trying to stay positive and do the best that we can, really.
And as we go forward here, would you tell people who are typically looking up Rochester Brainery classes, knowing that they would be in person, to kind of keep with the website? Because, as you said, it's fluid. You're learning a lot quickly in terms of how you can put together classes or online learning. But do you think that there will be some things changing? Should people stay with the website as things update there?
Yeah, 100%. And we always are very consistent with emailing and social media. And while I feel like we're a little bit slower at that over the past couple of days, because we've been really focused on just trying to get these things to be able to happen, we'll certainly be updating everyone as much as possible. So, you know, if they're on our newsletter or whatnot, or, you know, look at their inbox and stay, you know, stay with us on social media and do check the website. We hope to have a lot of that information posted either tonight or tomorrow morning.
Danielle Ponder, as a local musician, you know, making a living off music, what's the path forward now and how have things been for you in terms of gigs, shows, et cetera?
Yeah, I'm so happy you have me on because I don't think a lot of people think of a band as a small business. But for us, we were already coming from a lull with the winter. And so we were entering into this highly productive season where there's more festivals, there's more events. And within 24 hours, all of my income for April was completely wiped out. So I just had to like sit for a moment and realize, oh, I'm just going to make no money for the month of April, but still I have expenses that are related to my music, whether it's recording costs, whether it's paying for my music to be online, which we all pay for, or maintaining a website. So there's still costs that go into the creating process. So for me, I'm trying to think of other ways to create income. This Friday, I'm going to do an online concert and hoping to get some support from that. But I've even had a gig canceled for June. So I'm just not sure how long this is going to last. And the summer is when we make the bulk of our income. So it's a very scary time.
As Pete Nabosny from the Children's Agenda said last week on this program, the bulk of the work to repair the economy, no matter what happens, probably starts at the federal level, though everyone's going to have a hand. And thinking about that, I want to start with Danielle Ponder and kind of go back through the panel. When we think about what help might be there, I'm curious to know if there's anything that comes to mind for all of you, because when the public is told you need to stay home, if you are employed by a small business, if you own a small business, that is harrowing. That's like choosing to give up your livelihood potentially. And I have no doubt that is a very, very difficult choice. So Danielle Ponder, first of all, if federal leaders or if leaders really at any level said, look, here's the thing. Nobody trained for a pandemic when they started a small business. The American public is generally not familiar with this. We haven't seen something like this since 1957. So what we're going to do is we're going to do what we need to. And we can't guarantee we can put every cent back in, but we're going to do remarkable things to put the economy back on track on the other end of this. We just have to deal with the emergency. As opposed to, hey, stay home and let's do a payroll tax cut, which, you know, just I can't even fathom that, or maybe we'll bail out the cruise line industry. I mean, I just can't get my head around why the message isn't, we know this is extraordinary and unprecedented in two generations, so we'll do it, and we will do what it takes to rebuild on the other end. I think people would adhere to the guidelines more easily, and I think it would help small business owners feel a little differently. But maybe I'm wrong. Danielle Ponder first, how do you feel about the messaging you're hearing from government about what you can expect in terms of the other side of this?
You know, I'm really frustrated by it because I think many of the options don't even impact me. So I'm an independent contractor. And what I really need from my government is to do two things, either to put a moratorium on mortgage, rent payments, student loan payments, all of the bills, or to give people cash. I don't know why we have this visceral reaction to giving cash, but we have to bail out the people at the end of the day. And ironically, Mitt Romney suggested giving cash, which I never thought I'd hear that from him. But I don't have the protections of paid time off. I don't have the protections of going into unemployment. As an independent contractor, I just don't have the structures of a regular job. So either someone has to say bills aren't due or someone has to give us cash. Mm. Those are the two options, in my opinion.
Daniel Ramo, what do you think?
I mean, I definitely agree with everything that Danielle said. Kind of like in that same vein, I think outside of Rochester Brainery, I also freelance as a social media specialist. So, you know, I have my small business and I also have my freelance business. So both of those things are things I'm keeping an eye on. But yeah, it's really those larger bills that are, you know, I mean, I have my rent for my business and, you know, mortgage and, yeah, student loans and all of that that I'm, you know, that need to be paid somehow. So it's really just, any assistance. I don't know what that would look like, but any assistance would be, you know, even if it's just saying like, hey, don't worry about it this month. you know, we'll get back to it, you know, next month. Here's a pause.
Yeah.
That would be immensely helpful.
Brian Van Etten.
So, you know, we see some things coming from both federal and state government, and it just seems to be it's really confusing. You know, this whole timeline has been so quick and fast, and it feels like a lot of people are shooting from the hip. And something that would really help, I believe, not only small business owners, but their employees, is just a little more clarity on what they can offer or what we should do in a time like this. Anything that can really help the staff or the community, you know, just give them a little bit of relief. But for me, it just feels like sheer confusion and uncertainty in terms of what route we should take here.
And Ellen Brenner, what do you think?
So I agree with what everybody stated so far, and to cap onto it. So, for example, you know, the extension from suppliers and landlords and utilities, I'm already making a list from various suppliers that have already reached out to us, and even our landlord some of our landlords have reached out to us as to what's going on, what are you going to do. So I'm sure they're in the same situation because they don't know what to do either. So I suspect that's going to take a little bit of time from our suppliers, but they are for us. They are reaching out to us. In talking with the insurance companies, with respect to when you're out of service and out of business and you can't perform, right now, for us particularly, the one main insurance company does not cover viruses. So their current recommendation is if we are to be shut down, that you contact them again and put in a claim. So perhaps if the insurance companies as well can, and this is both business insurance and actually even medical insurance, if they can come together and say, okay, this is what we can do for the people, this is what we can do for the businesses. With respect to the information on the paying to staff and then the businesses are going to get tax credit, that's very loosey-goosey. And even as you start listening to the information or reading the information that is provided online, it's still unsure of what exactly does that mean. You know, is that right now today when someone has to let go of their employee today, or is that 2 weeks down the line? So, yes, information is becoming very loosey-goosey. With respect to the rate that just got dropped, that's wonderful. I called my bank this morning. My line of credit is there. Yes, my rate has dropped, but you still have to pay interest, which I get. But right now, it's scary because that interest is even more money on it. And then unemployment. I suspect that the rates that we've been seeing for unemployment are going to skyrocket by the end of Friday, and that is going to put another strain on another aspect of government as to what are they going to do for this unemployment with the skyrocket and what's going to happen and what can they do. So, yes, I'm on board with what everybody's saying here, but there's also the information is coming in so rapid fire. I don't even know if people can think straight to be able to provide solutions so quickly. But yes, we basically need money.
We're talking to guests from the small business community, and they're talking about the situation facing small businesses across the country, really around the world right now, as we look at the economic crisis caused by the virus. And I see a couple of phone calls. We can take them on the other side of this break. Let's get our only break of the hour. And we're doing things a little differently. No in-studio guests for the foreseeable future here on Connections, but live programming every afternoon. We're right here with you. So let's get that only break, and we're right back at it on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, Tuesday on The Next Connections. We keep our eye on the crisis, talking to people in the medical community. But what we know about the likely course of events to come, what that means for all of us, and what we all can do together, not just to leave it up to authorities, but to take it into our own hands and continue to self-isolate and help them. Talk with you Tuesday on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Small businesses are already hurting, and the likely path forward involves a lot more economic pain, probably a lot more unemployment, and an admonition for all of us to stay home. And we agree. We are taking the advice of the experts, and we are urging everyone to stay home, to not have birthday parties or take it as a vacation from school for the kids. It is home, and that's tough, and we've never had to do this before. But we are following the advice of the experts. That leads to all kinds of trouble for the people who have relied on day-to-day interactions with customers in various settings for small business. And we should all be concerned about their well-being, too. That empathy needs to be there as we figure this out. And that's what we're talking about this hour with four local small business owners. Daniel Ponder is a local musician. Daniel Ramo is the owner of the Rochester Brainery. Brian Van Etten is the owner of the Playhouse and Swillburger in Rochester. The best sauce of any burger in Rochester, man.
Thank you.
Ellen Brenner, the owner, CFO, and vice president of Fleet Feet Rochester and Buffalo and Yellow Jacket Racing. Awesome company that does great work with racing. I'm already bummed thinking ahead to events that I'm not going to be able to run the one-milers with my son or different events that they do, the 5Ks around town. But this is it. This is everybody is making these calls, whether the government directs it or not. So on the other end of this, I know listeners are going to do what I'm going to do, which is Daniel Ponder's been waiting for me to show up at every show. I'm going to be at every show, every damn show. We're all going to go to the Rochester Brainery and take classes. We're going to go eat out. Oh, my gosh. This whole world is just waiting for the green light again to do that. Oh, it's going to be great. We're going to run races. We're going to buy goods. We're going to lace up our sneakers. And we're going to do that together. But it's going to be a while, and it's going to be hard. So it's a question of what can be done. And let me grab a couple of phone calls. First, Michael in Brighton. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I was calling to let you know that my brother and I own a small apartment building, and all of our tenants, we've only got a four unit, all of our tenants work service jobs in one form or another. We have like a hairdresser, a welder, someone that does child care. These are people that are going to probably hurt the most. And if they aren't able to do things like pay the rent, we're going to, at some point down the road, have a hard time keeping the lights on in the building. And we have, you know, in the immediate future, we're going to be fine. But not us, but rather our tenants are the people that are, I think, going to need the help the most. And I just don't see anything coming down the line that they're going to benefit from. And that's a huge concern on my part for them rather than for me.
All right, Michael, so you're in the room with policymakers. Tell them what they have to do.
I think the working people are the ones that really, really need the help right now. And in order for that to happen, I don't know what would have to change. Bailing out banks seems kind of silly. Banks take people's money and don't really generate any wealth. The people generate the money. And then right now they aren't able to do that. And they're the ones that are really going to need the help. So I'm not a banker. I'm not a policymaker. I don't know what the solution is, but this is probably really, really scary for a lot of people.
Cash is what you're saying. Universal basic income.
Yeah. Something along the lines of that, something that would allow people to just pay their basic staples in order to, you know, gas, electric, water, heat. You could probably argue internet's a basic service right now because it's required for so many things. I'm working from home right now from my regular job.
Yeah.
Without internet, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Michael, thank you. Good luck to you. And I really appreciate you,
making
the phone call. Great perspective there. And I think, Daniel Ponder, it was you who mentioned earlier this hour, for a long time, policymakers have been very hesitant just to give people money, actual money. And I bet you Andrew Yang wishes he was still in the presidential race. I mean, this is the year
right.
This is the year of the UBI. I think Americans are going to become a lot more familiar with it. And sounds to me like that's another one in the column for UBI. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think what's interesting about what's happening is that I believe our eyes are going to open up to the importance of social protection, whether it's health care, whether it's income, whether it's child care, social protections that many governments in Europe have that we don't have. And in this crisis, we are seeing the failings of not protecting our people. And so I'm hoping that people are going to change their positions on those type of social programs after this ends.
Do you think so? Do you think they will?
I'm praying to God.
And you know, Daniel Ponder, as we think about this, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is in a crisis like this, I'm currently still employed. I wouldn't want a UBI. Now, Andrew Yang has said one of the reasons that he proposed a UBI the way he did, universal for everybody, no matter if you're Bill Gates or anybody else, is because no one gets discriminated against. There is no means testing. No one can point the finger at anybody else. It's the same opportunity for everybody, and it won't change depending on status of employment. I don't know how we would attach this to whether you're working or not, you know, but I want the help to go where it needs, and I guess that's part of the challenge. It'd be weird coming to someone like me and while it's, you know, needed by small business owners, but I guess there's no perfect system.
You know, I think that if you have a salaried position where you are still being paid,
yeah,
You know, if I was still an attorney, which I can't believe I used to be an attorney, now I'm like, wait, why am I even here? But, you know, I would still be getting paid by the county. So I don't know if people with salaried positions necessarily need it.
I think that's right.
But those who don't have weekly checks coming anymore, we need some type of money. And what that the caller said about the rent, I didn't even think about that. You know, landlords are going to be hurting as well if we had a moratorium. So how do we make sure they can keep their lights on too?
There has to be a way to sort of pause things where people can't scam and take advantage. Where if there's a pause, it's a pause for everybody. And I don't know how that works, but essentially it's a repositioning of how we do life for a little while. So
And I think what everything comes a little scam, and that's okay.
Yeah.
We have social welfare for corporations and they scam every day. So nothing's going to be perfect. So if we want a perfect system, we're not going to create it.
That's a good point.
That's going to be par for course.
That's a very important point. Henry in Rochester next. Go ahead, Henry.
Hi, Henry Padron, co-owner of Hipocampo Children's Books on South Avenue. I just was reading through the American Booksellers Association about the current situation and how we who rent storefronts, brick and mortars, can ask for rent relief by calling our landlord. And some of the strategies that are mentioned for handling rent relief requests, you can get a rent reduction, you could get a rent deferral, a rent abatement, or a loan conversion. I don't know what everyone's policies are. I don't even know what mine is, but I am definitely going to pursue that strategy, particularly now when we're going to close our bookstore until the end of the month.
Mm. Henry, thank you. It's just another data point as we think about what are the options. And listeners, you can call the program and share your stories. That's Henry is with Hipocampo Children's Bookstore, great store in Rochester. Relief from landlords, sure. I mean, Italy has essentially stopped mortgage payments. And if you're a landlord and you don't want to voluntarily offer relief to your tenants because you still have to pay the mortgage, there may be a mortgage relaxation or a mortgage pause. But that's a lot of coordination. And you got to think that the federal government's working on that, but we really haven't seen adult leadership from the federal government yet on this issue, so it's probably not wise to waste a whole lot of breath on that right now. Let me get Robert in Rochester next. Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, hello. I'm on the air, I guess.
You're on the air.
Oh, great. First time calling in. I listen to your program quite a bit right now. I wanted to give a shout out to Danielle Ponder, and hi, I was able to see you Friday down at Hollowhorn. Kudos to Hollowhorn for staying open that night. It was a terrific performance by all the performers, and I loved it. And I was glad I made the decision to go down there. I also won the second and third Danielle's suggestions about the federal government stepping in to provide financial relief to the people. The banks are getting bailed out by the Federal Reserve System. What about the people? It feels like the same thing that happened in 2008, 2009. The big corporations and banks got bailed out. They're too big to fail. What about the millions of people whose lives failed, mortgages?
Okay, I'll let Danielle jump on that. But Robert, are you at the point now where you're are you ready to be home for a while?
Not psychologically or emotionally, and I guess I got to come to terms with that reality.
It's okay, man. It is hard for everybody, and we're going to be here for you here on Connections. But I hope you can get there. It's important. Now, having said that, he's pointing out, Danielle Ponder, that. The first talk of bailouts was for the cruise industry, the airline industry. There was one other industry. But, yeah, it didn't really feel like the day-to-day Americans and working class. But I would bet a lot of money, Danielle Ponder, you'd say you're not surprised at that.
No, I'm not. And I think the bailout of the financial industry during the housing crisis didn't really help the working poor. And we know that because we see a great increase in the wealth gap. So our government has to really change its priorities.
So let me get an email and address that to our guests as well here. I can't. My email is funky. that's a technical term, but I'm going to go from memory then. Listener essentially wanted to know how our small business owner guests are hoping that customers will respond. And I'll go down the whole list here. Daniel Ramo, I'll start with you. Do you want people to buy gift cards, gift certificates to the Brainery and say, you know, maybe we'll cash them in the online sphere, and maybe when things settle out here and we get back to on our feet and or something else? What do you want customers to do right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this, you know, it's going to be different with every single business. However, you know, what's going around online right now, asking people to buy gift cards for businesses, is a great option. For Rochester Brainery specifically, if they want to use that, you know, in an online class or wait until, you know, we open back up again, they have that. They can give it as a gift. They can do whatever they like. We also have memberships that are available. Kind of did like a little Facebook Live yesterday to talk about some of this stuff. But, you know, if anyone buys a membership to Rochester Brainery, they can start that membership immediately. But I always confirm start dates. That's why, so if they like buy it around a holiday or something, the membership doesn't start until they give it to the person. So I'm happy to wait on starting any memberships that are purchased until we are fully back up and running. So if someone wants to buy a membership and still get the full use out of it, they can for the full year. And then just attending the online classes, if they're available and interested. Those are all great ways that are specific to Rochester Brainery that customers can continue to support us.
Having said that, and I'll ask all of our guests this question, that first question, what do you want customers to do? And number two, do you think a united customer effort could be enough to help you kind of stay afloat during this time? I mean, without policy, without government intervention. Daniel Ramo.
It certainly doesn't hurt, you know, if we had that, you know, if purchases is what we operate on every other day, right? So those same purchases are going to be beneficial in helping us, you know, continue to operate and see this through in the best way that we can. So I think those things, those little small things can have, a big impact.
Brian Van Etten, owner of the Playhouse in Swilberger, what do you want your customers to do?
So we've had a handful of customers reach out on multiple different social media forums asking about gift card, online gift card sales. We're currently not set up for that. We're trying to arrange a different system of being able to receive that. In addition to that, you know, to me, and I hate to beat this drum too much, but if you know a food service worker who's affected by this, you know, it's what you can do for them during this hard time. It's words of encouragement. It's financial assistance to them. It's food. It's any of those things that keeps them afloat, because, you know, these are some of the hardest working people in the country. And in order to keep them afloat and come back and be able to get back on their feet is just as important to the business than directly buying gift cards for the business.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that what's going to keep you afloat, if we're going to do this, is a combination of customer intervention and policy intervention? I mean, is it one side of the ledger or the other, Brian?
You know, it's both, and it's getting through this virus. You know, in terms of our business specifically, as I mentioned, and as you know, I mean, social distancing doesn't happen at my business. You know, we're a business that's built around people rubbing elbows, playing video games, big community, sense of community. So until we get over this, you know, there's really very little chance that that we can reopen. And so that's our goal. You know, so anything that can be put into place to get this virus contained and flatten the curve as best as possible, that's what's really going to help us.
Ellen Brenner, what do you want your customers to do?
Well, for the Yellow Jacket Racing side of the house, with the Flower City Challenge being canceled, that's a major hit, not only for us, but also for the community as well. But I would ask that they still continue to think about future events, definitely the ones in the summer and the fall time period, for any events that we had to cancel. We understand that there was a cash outlay, but trust that we're going to be putting on the postponement race and that we're going to be doing everything that we're supposed to do to have an event continue. So keeping that in mind, but to still register. For example, we have a virtual Hippity Hop Easter event, if you will. You could still run outside. You can still do virtual things. So doing something like that will help. On the retail side of the house, I mean, right now we are fortunate. Yes, we are open, but we've minimized traffic heavily. So the distancing is occurring in our stores. But, you know, should we have to close the doors, we are offering, because my husband and I are still going to work, you know, we have to, but we're going to be offering curbside service. We're also going to be offering delivery service. We also have online presence as well. So anything, you know, and when we get back going, I almost feel like when this is done, I want to see a celebration of some sort, that we're all here, we're all together, and just support any possible small business at all. It's almost, if you will, it's post-World War II. Just celebrate.
Yeah, I hear that. Mm. And you know what? Every one of us wants to fast forward to that day, and that's why it's so difficult knowing what's ahead of us here. Amy Jo in Brighton, next on the phone. Go ahead, Amy Jo.
Hi. I just, number one, I love this program, so thank you for having it.
Thank you. We're going to be here.
I own a yoga studio, Bodhi Tree Yoga in Penfield, and we've been around for 11 years. We just moved locations a few months ago, and we just made the decision last night that we needed to close just because it felt reckless. Even though our classes are really small, even though we could spread out, it feels to me like one thing it's terrifying, number one. The whole thing is terrifying, the loss of income. Is that I think our county and our state governments, I have a lot of faith in them. I like what they've had to say. I like how clear they've been with people. But honestly, as awful as this sounds to say, I just, at this point, I feel like a widespread shutdown of non-essential businesses is what we need to get this thing tamped down and under control, because it's so hard for individual small businesses to make these awful decisions to close their doors,
Yeah. And
all of the ramifications that come from that. And I feel like in a hodgepodge way, I don't know how much of an impact it makes. I feel like it has to be this widespread thing to really get this thing contained.
That's true.
And I'm scared about, you know, well, definitely the federal leadership, but I don't know. It's a surreal time.
Amy Jo, first of all, thank you. Much love. And we'll be here. And I hope everyone's listening. There's going to be a celebration. The people are going to be here coming back in droves to businesses that need it on the other side of this. But Amy Jo is pointing out something that I think we all need to keep in mind right now, because I had a friendship strained this weekend with someone who owns a small business and was upset with me for urging isolation. And I mean staying home and staying home. This person said, you don't get it what it's like to be vulnerable as a business owner. And I said, you're right. Like, I don't want to lose this friendship. I don't want you to lose your business. I don't want any of this. But we also are looking at, if 40% of New Yorkers end up with this virus, which is definitely possible, that's 720,000 people. That doesn't mean all those people need hospital beds. But what if 10% do? 75,000 people needing hospital beds in this state when there are several thousand currently. It's not all at one time. The point is to drag this thing out and let that happen slowly enough that hospitals don't collapse. We're going to do this for them. We're doing this for the heroes in the hospitals. And I'm going to use a phrase, nobody wants, whatever. Everything's different, right? It sucks. All of this. All of it. And it is hard to explain to people. But yes, Amy Jo's right. If we do this sort of hodgepodge, it's not enough. It's not. And that also is a massive bummer. But we're going to be there for people. We have to do this. So Amy Jo, good luck to you. Let me get Calvin on the phone next. Go ahead, Calvin.
Hey, Evan. I think I want to echo Amy. I agree. The last couple of days have been sort of really tenuous for small business owners. Going back to Saturday at 540 West Main, I decided to run our classes for the day. Most of our classes are typically under 15 people, and at the time, the sort of the common or the best practice that we were being taught was to, you know, keep it less than 25 people. And then we ended up having probably less than half numbers for classes all day, and then I ended up needing to sub in for three consecutive classes because instructors didn't feel comfortable at the final hour. So I would agree that it seems like it may seem like overkill for some people, but I think that it'd be helpful for leaders at all levels to just make a blanket closure, because it's been really, I think, the most challenging part for those of us in the small business community is trying to figure out and parse through the different information that we've been given, and it's like not fully clear, and it's getting a little bit more clear now today on Monday. So I definitely agree with that. And then I also wanted to ask Brian, looking at the sort of the restaurant ban that we have coming or in process now, will Playhouse perhaps be able to do like takeout or delivery, or is that not an option for Playhouse specifically? I know every eatery is a little bit different. So both are my comments and questions.
Calvin, thank you. Go ahead, Brian Van Etten.
So thanks, Calvin, for asking, because that was something I, you know, have been thinking quite a bit about, and something, you know, when this all started, when we saw, you know, this in China, it was one thing. When it reached Washington, it became quickly another thing. And shortly after that, we started game planning. You know, I think we came up with five or six different scenarios of how we would handle this based on how quickly it came to our area. And one of the ideas was, this was about 4 days ago, is, you know, what if we did takeout and delivery only? And for me and for us, it just didn't seem like that was enough. Commercial restaurant kitchens, you know, if you expect to keep your business afloat, especially at what we're doing at the Playhouse, where the price points aren't fine dining price points, they aren't super high, you need volume. And if you to get volume, you need bodies. So if you consider the average size of a commercial kitchen, if any of you haven't been in one, they're small. They tend to be small. So even bringing in 3-4 staff members to cook on a daily shift felt a little reckless to us as well. So for that reason, we decided that at least for the foreseeable future, yeah, until we can game plan a better strategy, we just had to shut down completely.
This is the day, I think, where everyone is really kind of getting the picture, because I realize in the last 5 days, the message has been so conflicted. I mean, even local leaders last week were saying, you know, restaurants are probably fine. Go out, enjoy the cuisine, and bars probably fine. Gyms keep you healthy. Go to gyms. Churches, we can't tell you not to go to church. The answer on all of that is don't do any of that. I mean, that was 4 or 5 days ago that's what we were hearing. And so when you've got 20-somethings at the bars this weekend and they've been hearing, well, we're not going to cancel the parade yet. Okay, we'll cancel the parade. Okay, but yeah, restaurants and bars probably fine. Okay, but stay a little farther apart. That's not strong enough. That's not strong enough. We're not there anymore, though. We've moved past that, and thank goodness for that, because here we are, united front together. I am hearing, I am seeing so many messages from small business owners, you know, friends at Finger Lakes Wineries. We stand behind your statement 100%. We all have to do it together or not at all. The longer we don't get on board, the longer this will hurt us small business owners. Yes, we want an economy on the other side of this, and we're going to do that. But today's the day to make sure that anybody you know who's on the fence knows, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're staying home, and we're going to take online classes at the Brainery, and we're going to support every one of these businesses. We're going to buy gift cards at the Playhouse, and we're going to download a ridiculous amount of Daniel Ponder music, but we're going to pay for it. And we're going to sign up for fall races, and we're going to do all this stuff because it's the right thing to do. And then we're going to lean on policymakers. The President of the United States just tweeted 6 minutes ago, he got off a call with international leaders, and everyone agrees that we're doing a great job, but Governor Cuomo of New York needs to do more.
Jesus.
So here's the thing. When people say, Evan, you're being partisan about the president, okay, it's not partisan. The governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine's a Republican. That man has been a heroic leader in this. He's been amazing. That man has stood up and said, we are not taking it seriously enough, and we're going to do closures that you're not comfortable with, and we're going to do them before anybody else. Mike DeWine, Republican, standing ovation. This is not partisan, but we have to ignore the president as much as we can right now. He's baiting us on political, on politics. Don't get baited on politics right now. Keep your focus on what we have to do personally, and then what we can do to care for especially the vulnerable, and what we can do to help the business owners who are scared. Let's all do that, but don't take the bait. Let's rely on the leaders who are not baiting us, but who are actually working on problems. And that's Republicans, and that's Democrats. That's everybody who wants to be involved, but don't get baited. Sorry, everybody. So Sean in Rochester is next. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi. So I'm just making a comment. I guess it is a question. I'm a nurse. I work in one of the local hospitals, but I won't say which. We have been inundated for months. We've had people in the hallways. The emergency departments have been just slammed, but nobody has done anything to help at that time because of the flu. Where has this response been before? And I'll take your responses off.
So hold on, Sean, let me make sure. I didn't hear the last part of that. Repeat your comment so I understand it.
So I'm just saying that as a nurse,
yeah,
we've been slammed. Our local hospitals have been slammed with flu cases, with people being sick with the flu for months.
Oh, okay.
But there's been no talk of social distancing until all of a sudden this new thing comes up. Where has that response been previous to this, is my question.
All right, Sean, thank you. This is where I don't want to kind of go out of my league here, but we've had a rough flu season, and a lot of our beds are at 80% capacity, from what I've been told in various places around New York State. That means when we look at bed capacity, it doesn't mean that we're coming in starting from zero. If all the cases were corona for zero bed capacity, starting at zero, it would still be hard. Sean's point about it being a hard flu season is right, and we've got a lot of people in beds already, correct. Why we weren't talking about social distancing during flu season? We've been living with flu, and we've sort of become desensitized to it. We talk about flu like it's a cold or like a little stomach bug, not a virus that can be deadly for the vulnerable. So, and we're probably going to end up with corona season eventually. Once we get a vaccine, we're going to have flu shots and corona shots. That's what we'll do every year. And we will probably try to get back to a position that we've been in. What do the experts say about social distancing with the flu? I don't know, and I don't want to speak beyond my capacity there, but I take the point, Sean. It is definitely serious. I want to ask our guests to kind of give you some final thoughts as we think about helping small business owners. Daniel Ramo, owner of the Rochester Brainery, what do you want to be on people's minds in these strange times?
I think it's just being, like, forgiving to each other and trying to be really understanding, trying to understand where everybody's coming from in their decisions. Just like kind of everyone was saying, these are really tough decisions that individuals and businesses are having to make. In some cases, there's some guidance. In other cases, I'm like, what to what? And so it's talking to each other. It's being open about things. It's being understanding and doing the best that we can, and just really asking everyone to understand that truly we as small business owners could not care more. We are small business owners because we love what we do.
Yeah.
It's just really asking everyone to be very understanding and give each other a little bit of time to figure things out right now.
Beautiful. Brian Bennett in 30 seconds.
Echo everything Daniel just said. In addition, when the time comes when we can be a little closer to one another again, support small businesses with everything you got.
Ellen Brenner.
Please still run, still walk, still exercise. You can do that in your home. We want to celebrate when we are done with this.
Danielle Ponder.
Practice gratitude. Think of the many ways in which you are blessed.
And that can be hard right now. That's good. That's powerful stuff. We got a lot to talk about this week. Later this week, we're going to be staying on the medical side, but we're also going to talk about when we think about causes for a bigger purpose. We're going to talk about how sometimes things can feel fragile. And, you know, this has sort of reminded us that that there aren't as many guarantees as we thought. And I think that gratitude that Daniel Ponder says is a beautiful thing there. So Daniel Ponder's a local musician. You know what? I can say this. Buy our music. Go buy it. You can do it right now. Danielle Rambo is the owner of the Rochester Brainery, and you can get gift certificates right now. Thank you, Danielle Rambo. Brian Vanette is the owner of the Playhouse Swill Burger. You know where the best burgers and sauce in town is, and there will still be at some point. We know that.
Thank you for having me, Evan.
Brian, thank you. And Ellen Brenner, the owner and CFO and vice president of Fleet Feet Rochester and Buffalo and Yellow Jacket Racing, an institution. Thank you. Hang in there. We're with you, Ellen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our thanks to the entire team at Connections. Emma Ray Stein is our intern, and she's working from home now, and she hasn't stopped working because she is remarkable. The best producer in the business is Megan Mack, and Rob Braden, the engineer, just a remarkable group of people. The whole team at WXXI News, here, doing what we can to be safe, smart, appropriate, and bring you conversation and journalism that we all need. Thanks for being here. I'm Evan Dawson. We will talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.